Good morning, and Merry Christmas. Only 10 days left until Christmas. You guys ready? Got your tamales? Because you know here in Texas, it's just not Christmas unless you have tamales, right? No. You can have whatever, but tamales are a great thing. I don't know why I have tamales on the brain for some reason. That's right. Maybe that's it. That's it. My name is Dave Dillman, and I serve here on the preaching team at High Point, and I'm so blessed to share this word with you this morning. We have a beautiful story to talk about, one that starts with sadness and tragedy, but ends with great joy. We celebrate Advent all month long, and the Advent season reminds us that Jesus came to this earth as a baby, lived the model life, and more so than anything else, died on the cross for our sins so that we could be redeemed and made new. That's what we celebrate this month. But let's not forget, too, that we also celebrate that he's going to come back. Amen? Because he is coming back. So we're in the third week of our Advent series, and we've titled it, Go Tell It. We're looking at the women that are a part of the genealogy of Jesus. And we're looking at the powerful ways in which God uses these women who are otherwise ignored, forgotten, or in some cases abused. And then as we look at this, we remind each other of the call that Jesus gives to all who follow him. Anyone who believes and receives Jesus and calls himself a disciple, he gives the call to go and tell others about him. What he came for, and who he came for. Will you pray with me? Father, as we review this beautiful story of Ruth, would your word speak to our hearts and call us to live in a different way this week, noticing the people that go unnoticed, loving the people that go unloved, and sharing your message with people who otherwise would not get to hear it. So, Lord, I just thank you for this time and for your word, and I ask that the Spirit move and speak to each individual life that's here. And as we grow in our knowledge and our faith and in our relationship with you, just lead us in the direction you want us to go. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. So far we've looked at Tamar, who's overcome church hurt and abuse. And then we've seen Rahab overcome the reputation she had for being a prostitute and gain a new reputation through her faith and courage as one of the heroes of faith listed in Hebrews 11 that T.W. talked about last week. And today we'll be looking at Ruth, and we'll see in her story how Jesus came for those who are widows, who are orphans, and who have been marginalized by society. We have Bibles in the back corner if you don't have a personal Bible and like to follow along with one today. And if you don't have one to take home, please accept that as our gift. We believe everyone should have access to the Word of God. So Ruth's story begins with her in-laws, Naomi and Elimelech, which is, by the way, how I learned to pronounce it. I've saw other pronunciations, Eli Melech and Elimelech and Elimelech. So I just know Elimelech. So that's what you're getting this morning. So however it's pronounced, that's the name of her husband. They're an Israelite couple. They live in Bethlehem. However, a famine has come over the land of Israel. And so they're forced to leave because there's just no food. So the famine's broken out, and this is during the time of the judges. A lot of sin running rampant in Israel. And so it led to this famine. And so Naomi and Elimelech and their sons are forced to leave. So they go to the land of Moab. And Moab's actually not a bad choice for resources because they've got great climate to grow food and vegetables. And they have great fields so that you can raise livestock. So there's plenty in Moab. So they do go, and things start to get better for them. But then Elimelech suddenly dies, leaving Naomi a widow. And during their time there, both of her sons marry Moabite women named Orpah and Ruth. So Naomi's left a widow without a husband, which in that time was an even bigger deal besides just the emotional impact of losing a spouse. She also has no resources, no one to carry on the family line, to have kids. It was a hard thing. But her sons marry Moabite women named Orpah and Ruth. And 10 years go by, things are okay, and then the unthinkable happens. You know, it's tough enough for Naomi to lose her spouse, but then she has to lose both of her sons. Both of her sons die, and so now Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah are widows. But there's good news. Naomi hears that the Lord has now blessed Israel and that the famine is over. So she decides to return home, but she knows that life is going to be extremely difficult for Ruth and Orpah because they're not Israelites, and they're also widows. And in that society, widows, it's very tough to live as a widow because you would face social marginalization, basically, you know, cast aside as an afterthought, because they looked at, you know, who your husband was, who your family name was. They looked at, you know, did you own land? Could you provide, you know, could you get the resources that you need? They didn't care for widows. They would face social marginalization. They would face economic challenges, as I mentioned, and possibly even exploitation and abuse. They could get taken advantage of. They lacked the protection and support of their husbands. That's how it was during those times. So Naomi understands how difficult life is going to be for Ruth and Orpah, so she desperately pleads with them, please go back to your families. I'm old. I'm too old. She says she's too old to have a husband. And even if she did get married, even if she did have kids, she told Ruth and Orpah, are you guys going to wait until the kids get old enough to get married? Because by then, you'll be old as well. So it's just better for you to go be with your families and stay in your country. And this was not an easy conversation. This was a difficult emotional conversation for Naomi to have with her daughter-in-laws. Now, Orpah does return reluctantly, but she does go back to her families, but Ruth will not hear of it. So this is where we see Ruth's commitment and her loving and faithful heart. So let's read from chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. That's love, folks. That's commitment. That's loyalty. Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Remember, the Moabites, they didn't worship Yahweh. They worshiped foreign gods. And for Ruth to say, I'm going to give up my Moabite identity, and I'm going to go with you. And the God you worship will be the God I worship. And the people that you are with, they will be my people. Ruth knew what she was getting into going into Israel with Naomi, but she didn't care. Because her love for Naomi, and I believe her love for God, for the God she learned about from Naomi, was so strong, she was committed no matter what. Think about that for a minute. Naomi taught Ruth about the God of Israel, and Ruth found faith in him. Ruth would later go on, as we'll mention, to be the great-grandfather of King David. David was called a man after God's own heart. Yes, he did make some pretty bad decisions. In fact, next week we're going to look at probably one of his worst when we talk about Bathsheba. But David being called a man after God's own heart, where do you suppose he got that? Well, he must have got that from his father, Jesse. Where did Jesse get that? Must have got that from his father Obed. And where did Obed get it? From his parents, Ruth and Boaz, who we'll meet later. From Naomi. Naomi passed down her faith, and now Ruth is seen as a woman of strong faith. Our series is about us going and telling others that Jesus came for all people. And throughout the story of Ruth, as we look at this story, I want to share with you what it is that Jesus came to do. The first is that Jesus came to include you. As a widow and a Moabite woman, Ruth was likely not going to be received well in Israel, if she's even noticed at all. We'll see through the work of God in this story that instead of being shoved to the side or even worse, Ruth meets someone who takes her in, lets her take the food that she needs, and later become included in a family. The family line of one of Israel's greatest kings, David, and ultimately our greatest king, Jesus, the King of Kings. So Ruth goes out to the field to glean. So basically any leftover grain that was left over, Ruth goes to glean and basically get for her and Naomi so they can have food. So she finds a field, and by the way, could have gone to any field, but ends up at a field run by a man named Boaz, who also happens to be a close relative on Elimelech's side. And as D.W. mentioned last week, he is the son of Rahab. Quick aside, this may seem like an accidental happenstance, but you may know that God works through all situations. There are no accidents with God. God had a plan behind what was going on. So it wasn't just by chance or by random that Ruth found this field. So Ruth begins gleaning after asking the foreman, we'll call him the foreman, the supervisor, whatever you want to call him, of the field. And Boaz notices her. Now, he doesn't know her name yet. So he asks who she is, and all she's identified as is the Moabite woman that came with Naomi. Now, as I mentioned, Moabite and Israel, they don't like each other very much, to the point where Moabite's king tried to curse Israel three different times, and three different times was unsuccessful. And when that didn't work, the Moabite women led the Israelite men away from God, both by seducing them physically and also by having them go to the Moabite sacrifices to the Moabite foreign gods, where the Israelite men ended up eating food sacrificed to those gods. So there's tension between Moab and Israel. When Boaz heard that this is the woman that came with Naomi, instantly triggers because Naomi is a relative. So he says, stay here. He tells Ruth, stay here. Don't go to another field. I've told the men not to touch or harass you. So Boaz is telling her, you're going to be safe. You're going to get what you need. Ruth is included and cared for. She's not cast aside. She's allowed to glean just with everybody else. She's allowed to stay with the other women who are also working in the fields and gleaning. So she gets to meet these women and get to form relationships with them and at the same time get the food that she needs. So why would Boaz do this? The answer is in Ruth's response to him, starting in chapter 2, verse 10. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground and saying to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. For you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. Ruth is being Ruth is not being cast aside. She's not being cast aside. Her heart is what catches Boaz's attention. Not where she came from, not her appearance, but her faith. See, through God's mercy and the love shown to us by Jesus, people whose society would normally cast aside are the very people Jesus came to include in his kingdom and family. And the message that we are to go and tell is that anyone who receives Jesus will become a part of him. In John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, it says, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Jesus came because sin has kept us out, but his grace and his sacrifice on the cross lets us back in. Who the Son sets free, they are free indeed. If we put our faith in God and in Jesus and receive him, that becomes our identity. And as Romans says, nothing, including any past identity or label or any other criteria the world tries to use to define your worth, all of that's gone. You have a new identity in Jesus, and nothing else will be able to separate you from the love of God. Not your past, not what you've done, not where you came from, and not what society thinks of you. Only Jesus. Secondly, Jesus came to redeem us. So Ruth comes back from Boaz's field and she tells Naomi, "Boaz is the man that I gleaned from." And Naomi tells Ruth in verse 20, "That man is our close relative. He's one of our guardian redeemers." Now that term in ancient Israel, there was within the law of Moses a practice called the Levirate marriage. Trevor talked about it 2 weeks ago. Basically, if a husband dies, a brother or sometimes other male relative would take responsibility for the widow, including marriage to have children, which would carry on the family name, ensure that the widow was provided for, and that any land that was owned will remain within the family. You can read that in Leviticus 25 about the land and Deuteronomy 25 in the marriage. This is kind of a unique situation, though, as Boaz isn't a brother, but as we'll see in Ruth chapter 3, Naomi's going to tell Ruth to go to Boaz, and she's going to tell Ruth to put on her best, look her best, go to Boaz at night after Boaz has eaten and drank and is settling down for the night, uncover his feet, and then lay at his feet. Now, why would she ask Ruth to do that? Naomi is basically telling Ruth that, "I want you to have a home. I want you to have a family." What Ruth is basically doing is proposing marriage to Boaz. "Marry me so that I can be included in a family, so that Ruth will have a place." That's what Naomi is. That's her goal behind telling Ruth to go do this. Ruth, though, says, "I will go do it." But Ruth, in doing this, actually is helping Naomi, because if Boaz marries Ruth and they have children and Boaz buys Naomi's land, it will actually also benefit Naomi. Ruth isn't thinking of herself. Boaz is actually an older man, and Ruth, her number one concern is making sure that Naomi is taken care of. And by marrying Boaz and having children, Ruth is actually providing for Naomi. So the person's referred to as a guardian or kinsman redeemer. So finding out that Boaz was the one who helps Ruth, like I said, Naomi told her to go to the threshing floor after he lays down and covers his feet, lay at them. And so Ruth does so, and Boaz notices a woman laying at his feet. I don't know if you've ever been sleeping at night and your feet somehow find their way out of the covers and then start to get cold, that can startle you awake. Like, hey, why are my feet freezing? And that's what happens here. Boaz starts to stir and notices, hey, there's a woman laying at my feet. What the? And he says, who are you? And she answered, I'm Ruth. I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. And he said, may you be blessed, Boaz says, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. By the way, that term worthy woman is used again in Psalm 31, the very last portion of Psalm 31, the wife of noble character. And that's what we see that Ruth is. So Ruth could have just, hey, I need to get married. I'll go find a younger man. But no, she specifically goes to Boaz because she knows that by marrying Boaz, they will bear a son. And that son will carry the name of Ruth's husband, who is also Naomi's son. So that's where Naomi comes in with the redemption. So Boaz does tell Ruth, by the way, there is a closer relative, closer than Boaz, who we need to offer this to before me. Buy the land and redeem her and Naomi. So I'll ask him. If he won't do it, then I will. So Boaz goes to the other relative and says, so Naomi's land is for sale, and would you redeem it? The man says, yes, I'll redeem it. And then Boaz says, oh, by the way, there's another thing. In buying the land, you're also going to marry a Moabite woman named Ruth. I can picture the reaction of this guy going, wait, what? I'm going to marry what? I can't. See, unlike the story of Tamar, where Judah's second son, Onan, took advantage of the situation and did something immoral when asked to be the redeemer, this guy at least was honest, because he knows if he marries Ruth, that'll affect his inheritance. So at least this guy's honest, and he politely steps down and says, I can't. So Boaz says, all right, then I'll do what I say I will do, and I'll become the kinsman redeemer for Ruth and for Naomi. So he marries Ruth, and Naomi and Ruth are again part of a family. Ruth has children. Naomi is blessed. Ruth is blessed. And we see the generations, Obed, Jesse, King David. If you read Matthew 1, Ruth is mentioned in the genealogy, being the great-grandmother of King David, which will eventually be the line that leads us to Jesus. There are only 85 verses total in the book of Ruth, but some form of redeem or redeemer appears 23 times. Redemption's a big theme in the book of Ruth. Here, Ruth and Naomi are redeemed because Boaz provides them security. The family retains the lineage of their name through the children, and they retain their land. So Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. Now, on a much larger scale, there's another redemption happening here. Israel is redeemed because since Ruth would go on to become the great-grandmother of King David, and as we know, the book of Judges ends with Israel having no king and everyone did what was seen fit. This isn't going to work unless we have a king. Well, thanks to Ruth and her and Naomi being redeemed, Israel gets a king, a good king named David. They had a guy named Saul before and he didn't do a very good job. Now, David, of course, made some mistakes, but on the whole, David's going to become a very good king to redeem Israel. But there's an even greater redemption that happens. Because you see, you and I and the world, we also have a kinsman redeemer. His name is Jesus. See, sin separated us from God's family, but Jesus, by coming to earth and dying on a cross, redeemed us from our sin that we couldn't pay for. His death forgives and washes away our sins so that instead of being strangers to Jesus, deserving death because of our sin, we are given the right to be called his children, redeemed to eternal life with him. because of Jesus' sacrifice, we belong to someone. We're no longer an outsider. We're no longer cast aside. The love of Jesus brings us into his family. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, remember that you at one time were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus came to redeem the whole world. That means everyone. Isn't that worth telling people about? So now what? See, Ruth is a beautiful story of faith, love, compassion, and redemption, but what does it mean for us? What are we going to do with what we just heard? So I want to present to you three things as we close. First, how can you be a Naomi? Who is God put in your path to notice and share Jesus with? Ruth was a Moabite, but because of Naomi being a mentor to her, Ruth decided that only Yahweh would become her God. Who do you see every day, or not see, that the Lord wants to show to you to tell about our loving Redeemer, Jesus? Secondly, how can you be a Boaz? Who do you need to show God's love and compassion for? In James 1, verse 27, it says, religion that our God and Father accepts is pure and faultless at this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. See, Ruth and Naomi were widows because they lost their spouse, and they're orphans because everything that they had is now gone and they don't have anything. But a man named Boaz came and was their redeemer. And without God, what do we really have? But Jesus came to redeem us so that we could be brought near, so that we could then in turn do what he wants us to do, which is to look after those who don't have any resources and who wouldn't hear the gospel otherwise. Here at High Point, there are a lot of opportunities to reach out with the love of Jesus to those who otherwise may not receive it. Hearts for the Homeless, our Isaiah House 114 mission partners, our quilting ministry, just to name a few, our Isaiah 117, 114. Our house mission partners, our quilting ministry, just to name a few. Not everyone, understand that not everyone has the ability to do everything. So you may be feeling like, well, but I'm not as educated in the scriptures. You might think, well, but I'm not a professional minister. But I'm here to tell you that if you've believed and you've accepted Christ, he's given you the ability to do something. And even if you haven't yet, you can, and Jesus has given you the ability to do something, each of us. We have great leaders here at High Point, amazing leaders. But if we're going to truly be the body of Christ, then church, and I'm saying this to myself too, we can't let the foot, let the arm do all the work. Jesus calls all of us to share his love. See, the body works at its best when each part does its part. And finally, how can you be a Ruth? Where is God asking you to show selfless, sacrificial love? Ruth showed it to Naomi when there was great risk for a Moabite woman to go to Israel. And then the same sacrificial love that Jesus showed to all of us by coming to this earth, by being rejected by his own people, by dying on the cross, that same sacrificial love that we see in Ruth and that Jesus showed to us, he calls us to show to those who don't receive it otherwise, who may not receive it otherwise. Who in your life needs to see sacrificial and selfless love lived out? Who is Jesus leading you to? And let me ask you this one more question. If people don't hear the gospel from us, who claim to have received it and be his disciples, makes you wonder who they are going to hear it from. Jesus came for the marginalized. Jesus came for the outsider. Jesus came for those with church hurt. Jesus came for the broken. Jesus came for us all. Now let's go tell it, church.